Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 25 January, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18 sounds like this in corrected translation. Now the Lord is the Spirit, that's the deity of the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. Verse 18, but we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, spiritual freedom, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, Galatians 4:19, from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And this brought us to one of the most important doctrines you can know in the Word of God, and that is the doctrine of freedom. And we have studied the first 8 points in the doctrine of freedom, just not going through everything, but a little summary of those 8 points. First of all, there are 2 categories of freedom. There is human freedom, which may also be called establishment freedom. Freedom that's defined in the laws of divine establishment in the Word of God. And then there is spiritual freedom. Point 2, there are 2 categories of spiritual freedom. There is positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ, the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. And there is experiential freedom, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations to be filled with the Spirit and to benefit from the teaching ministry of the Spirit. This is the freedom to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, advance to spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum. This is the freedom to be transformed from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, Galatians 4:19. Point three was the principle of human freedom. Human freedom is legitimate self-determination. Human freedom is related to privacy, property, life, and authority. And therefore it emphasizes the need for the laws of divine establishment, establishment truth in the Word of God, which define legitimate authority designed for the protection of human freedom. Human freedom always demands that the individuals under it have their privacy. And there are two enemies of human freedom. Two enemies of human freedom to a nation. An internal enemy and an external enemy. The internal enemy of human freedom is criminal activity. And that demands law enforcement. It demands capital punishment. And then there is an external enemy of human freedom, other nations, power nations. And that demands a strong and prepared military. Point four, freedom as a heritage of physical birth. By the sovereign will of God, mankind was created with a volition, a free will, as a part of our soul. The most precious attribute in your soul is volition, and the byproduct of self-determination. Because you have a volition, you are free to make decisions. And this is why we are here. We are here to make decisions. Through freedom, we can make right decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, or we can make wrong decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. When you exercise your freedom to make right decisions, you will increase your options. However, when you exercise your freedom to make wrong decisions, eventually you will run out of options. And then that brought us to point five, spiritual freedom. And again, there are two categories of spiritual freedom, positional freedom, union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit of salvation, and experiential freedom, universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5 verse 1, we have both categories of spiritual freedom taught. Both positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom to live the spiritual life and glorify God to the maximum. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom, that is for the advantage of experiential freedom, Christ caused us to be set free. Positional freedom. Therefore, stand firm and stop being held in again or subjected again to a yoke of slavery, Satan's cosmic system. And then we looked at each one in more detail. We looked at positional freedom. Positional freedom starts at the cross, salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, John 8:34-36. At the moment of salvation, or faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Positional freedom in union with Christ is the only place where freedom and equality coexist. Galatians 3:26-28. God in His infinite and matchless grace has done what man can never do. In union with Christ, positional freedom, every believer has equal privilege and equal opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. And then we look at experiential freedom. Experiential freedom also starts at the cross, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, every church-age believer is both indwelt and filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit provides the experiential freedom and the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Whereas the key to positional freedom is the baptism of the Spirit and union with Christ, the key to experiential freedom is the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the spiritual life. The Lord Jesus Christ set us free positionally in order that we might function in spiritual freedom experientially. And that brought us to point six, the spiritual function of freedom. Positive volition can function in three ways under God's plan of grace. First of all, in salvation by faith in Christ. Secondly, in rebound by acknowledgement of our personal sins, where the justice of God is free to forgive us and enter us back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and our spiritual life. And third, positive volition to the teaching of the Word of God in order that we may attain spiritual maturity. That brought us to point seven, the relationship of freedom to responsibility. Freedom demands responsibility. We are free, but we are not irresponsibly free. All people have a responsibility to obey the laws of divine establishment. Morality is the human safeguard for freedom. Moral responsibility demands waiting for one's right partner in life, good manners, paying taxes, honoring the military and law enforcement, obeying the law. Good manners are a sign of knowing and understanding the principle of freedom. And that brought us to point eight, the relationship of freedom to maturity. The adult individual must be free to make his own decisions, whether they are right or wrong. And therefore, he must take the responsibility for all of his decisions. A person is not mature until he is able to take the responsibility for his own decisions on a consistent basis. And therefore, parents must realize that there comes a time in their child's life when he becomes an adult, and he must make his own choices, good or bad. And they will make both. And as parents, you have to realize that. You're happy when they make good decisions. You cry when they make bad decisions. But they will make both as they construct their life. That brings us now to point nine. Point nine, the relationship of freedom to sin. The relationship of freedom to sin. Subpoint one, all personal sin, known or unknown, involves the function of human volition. Your human volition. Two, and therefore, ignorance is no excuse. Ignorance is no excuse. Whether you knew it was a sin or not, you still wanted to do it. And therefore, you and you alone are responsible for your own sins. Three, you have no right to ever blame your failures on anyone else. You have no right to ever blame your failures on anyone else. And don't give me that, well, the devil made me do it. You have a free will. The decisions you make, you did it from your own free will. The devil didn't make you do it. The devil knows that you're so stupid, you'll do it anyway. He just lets you go. 4. Criminals are criminals because of the decisions of their own volition to violate the law and try to get away with it. Criminals are criminals because of the decisions of their own volition to violate the law and try to get away with it. 5. The old sin nature never functions apart from total agreement of human free will. The old sin nature never functions apart from total agreement of human free will. Your volition to say yes to temptation from the sin nature, that is what produces sin. Your own free will, your own volition. To say yes to temptation from the sin nature produces personal sin. That brings us to point 10, a very important concept. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Now, if something is free, then it does not cost anything. However, someone pays for most things that are free. First of all, we're going to look at this principle, freedom is not free, with human freedom. Human freedom is not free. And then we'll look at spiritual freedom. Is not free. Human freedom is not free. Let's amplify that. 1. Human freedom is purchased on battlefields through military victory. Freedom comes through military victory. Human freedom is purchased on battlefields through military victory. Right now, the Ukrainians are fighting for their life to maintain human freedom. The attack of the Russians is a satanic attack. It is totally unwarranted. It is a satanic attack on a freedom-loving people and a people that has really a very large pivot of mature believers. And they are fighting for their human freedom. And there's a lot of Christians there, and I've encouraged you to pray for those that God will put a wall of fire around them. And I pray that, many in the Ukrainian military have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and believed in Christ while this has been going on. And we're not living in the tribulation. In the tribulation, there's no restraining ministry of the Spirit. But we're not in the tribulation. We're in the church age, and the restraining ministry of the Spirit is operating. And how does the restraining ministry of the Spirit operate? Through the pivot of mature believers. And so I'm constantly praying that God will vindicate the doctrine in the souls of the pivot all over the world and deliver the people in the Ukraine from this satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine. Human freedom is purchased on battlefields, and they're fighting in their own ground for their human freedom. Human freedom is purchased on battlefields through military victory. Subpoint 2. Our human freedom in America cost the lives of many visible heroes. Visible heroes. those serving in the military, visible heroes. Our human freedom in America caused the lives of many visible heroes. Tonight, you had the freedom to assemble at Upland Bible Church. You came in here in freedom to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of the mind of Christ. And where did that freedom come from? Because visible heroes in our nation's history defeated the enemy in battle, in war. They defeated the evil power nations. In times of war, there are freedom-loving nations and there are power nations. And power nations will constantly try to take over and destroy freedom-loving nations. Three, in war, freedom-oriented nations have an army that goes to war against power-oriented nations that seek to destroy our human freedom. In war, freedom-oriented nations have an army, a military, that goes to war against power-oriented nations, nations seeking to destroy our human freedom. Four, whichever army wins determines the difference between freedom and slavery for that nation. Whichever army wins determines the difference between freedom and slavery for that nation. Five, when nations lose wars, when freedom-loving nations lose wars, they lose their human freedom. Human freedom is lost on the battlefield only after the constituents of that nation have made bad decisions to reject establishment truth, gospel truth, doctrinal truth. And that results in the shrinking of the pivot of spiritually mature believers. Six, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. For a long time in our nation, a major part of the pivot has been in the military. Believers in Jesus Christ. Believers in Jesus Christ who love the Word of God, who love God and the Word of God. But as goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. When a nation rejects the importance of a strong, well-prepared, and equipped military, the result is the loss of human freedom to power-oriented nations. When a nation rejects establishment truth in the Word of God, of capital punishment, of a swift and fair trial, and replaces it with the protection of the criminal, with no thought for the victim, when we call crime a disease rather than a sin, a violation of justice, the result is loss of human freedom from within our nation. Seven. Since the battlefield ultimately decides human freedom, any nation that desires to preserve its freedom should maintain a strong, well-prepared military with the best and most modern weapon systems. Since the battlefield ultimately decides human freedom, Any nation that desires to preserve its freedom should maintain a strong, well-prepared military with the best and most modern weapon systems. Eight, the failure of the military on the battlefield often indicates arrogance and cosmic system function on the part of believers in that client nation. The failure of the military on the battlefield often indicates arrogance and cosmic system function on the part of believers in that client nation. Nine, the shrinking of the pivot of mature believers from apostasy, degeneracy, reversionism, cosmic system function is the basic cause for the destruction of human freedom. The shrinking of the pivot of spiritually mature believers from apostasy, degeneracy, reversionism, cosmic system function is the basic cause for the destruction of human freedom. Now, when free men choose from their volition to join the military voluntarily, and we have Volar now, when they voluntarily join the military, they surrender their freedom as civilians and submit to discipline and authority in order to fight for and defend their country's freedom if need be. So freedom is not free. Human freedom is not free. But secondly, spiritual freedom is not free. Spiritual freedom is not free. So let's amplify that. One, spiritual freedom is free to the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual freedom is free to the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through simple faith in Christ, you have positional freedom. You're entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Your adoption as adult sons. You are have redemption. You're purchased from the slave market of sin. You have positional freedom. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you have experiential freedoms. Our passage, 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Through the indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. Two, however, while this freedom is free to the one who believes in Jesus Christ, it cost God a great price. However, while this freedom is free to the one who believes in Jesus Christ, it cost God a great price. Three, our spiritual freedom cost God the Father His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross. Four, it cost God the Father the price of imputing the sins of a condemned and totally depraved mankind to His own impeccable, righteous Son. It cost God the Father the price of imputing the sins of a condemned and totally depraved mankind to his own impeccable, righteous Son. Five, it cost God the Father the price of judging his innocent, sinless Son on the cross. It cost God the Father the price of judging his innocent, sinless Son on the cross. Six, it cost God the Son the price of leaving heaven and eternal glory. It cost God the Son the price of leaving heaven and eternal glory. Seven, it cost God the Son the price of humbling himself and taking on true humanity. It cost God the Son the price of humbling himself and taking on true humanity. Eight, it cost God the Son the price of substitutionary atonement, being judged for the sins of the whole world, our spiritual freedom was purchased by the blood of Christ. The salvation work of Christ on the cross. 3 hours of darkness and judgment. My God, my God, he screamed out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then we know in the song, because you are holy, your absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And when the sins of the world were poured out on Jesus Christ, God the Father had to judge our sins in Jesus Christ. For 3 hours, we'll never know. Billions and billions of sins in Christ, and he's taking the punishment for those billions of sins. And he screamed, and he screamed, and he screamed as this was taking place. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The salvation work of Christ. Those 3 hours of darkness and judgment when billions of sins were imputed to Christ and then God the Father judged them in Jesus Christ. It cost God the Son. We'll never know what that cost was. Impossible for us to know. It cost God the Son the price of substitutionary atonement and being judged for the sins of the world. Our spiritual freedom was purchased by the blood of Christ. Nine, spiritual freedom is free to us. the ones who believe in Christ because the Lord Jesus Christ picked up the tab at the cross. Spiritual freedom is free to us, the ones who believe in Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ picked up the tab at the cross. So, yeah, freedom is not free. Human freedom is not free. Spiritual freedom is not free. 11. Freedom and the virtue of the spiritual life. That is freedom related to the Royal Family Honor Code. Freedom and the virtue of the spiritual life, or freedom and the Royal Family Honor Code. First of all, the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring volition. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring volition. You see, God is resolving the angelic conflict by allowing man, like the angels, to make free will decisions. God never coerces our free will. He never needs to, because he has always known himself to be able to win the angelic conflict, no matter what any of his creatures might decide to do. So the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring volition. Secondly, the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring privacy. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring privacy. Let's amplify that. One, God has provided the principle of the privacy of the royal priesthood. God has provided the principle of the privacy of the royal priesthood. Two, we each represent ourselves before the Lord. We each represent ourselves before the Lord. Three, through the privacy of the priesthood, we have the right to live our own lives as unto the Lord. Through the privacy of the priesthood, we have the right to live our own lives as unto the Lord. Four, we acknowledge our own sins to God the Father in the privacy of our priesthood. We acknowledge our own sins unto God the Father in the privacy of our priesthood. Five, we learn Bible doctrine in the privacy of a local church. That is, if the pastor's doing his job, my job is to protect your privacy. I go overboard. Although I don't think you can go overboard. To protect people's privacy. And that's why I don't do counseling one-on-one. Here's where I do my counseling, right here. Teaching the Word of God. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and then the Wonder Counselor, Jesus Christ, counsels you. Because the Word of God is the mind of Christ. You learn the doctrine, you learn it, you believe it, you get it in your heart, then Jesus Christ will counsel you from His thinking, the mind of Christ in your heart. He's the Wonder Counselor. And that protects your privacy. Then you can come in privacy, learn the Word of God in privacy, become a self-sustaining believer, and apply the Word of God in privacy. And that's the way it should be. And I have people, they want to know if I will counsel them about this or that. A long time ago, I've been here about 400 years. A long time ago, I did that a few times, and it was excellent counseling. But it went in one ear and out the other, and not too much came from it. And I tell them, they want to tell me about all kinds of major failures of not only themselves, but others. And I just go, you know, don't you want to protect your privacy? You are a royal priest. Don't you want to protect your privacy? I do my counseling right here. I'm teaching doctrine Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday, again and again and again and again. If you're consistent and faithful, and some are and some aren't, if you're consistent and faithful in assembling to get face-to-face Bible teaching, or I know there are a lot of people out there that are getting it on email and all these other things, that's okay. It sure as hell isn't face-to-face Bible teaching. You see, face-to-face, it's... that's the best. That's the best. I wouldn't trade the face-to-face Bible. There are times that when I was at Dallas Seminary, I was listening to Colonel Thiem, Pastor Thiem, on reel-to-reel tapes. You even know what that is? That's the dinosaur. Real to real. And listening to doctrine. But you need the Word of God consistently and faithfully. And my job is to protect your privacy. So you can come. I don't want to know about your past. I don't want to know about all the skeletons in your closet. That's between you and the Lord, and in the privacy of your priesthood, you acknowledge your own sins, and you're forgiven and cleansed, and you live your life as unto the Lord. You confess your sins to God the Father in the privacy of your priesthood. I don't want to know about all those things. And definitely I'm not going to listen to you malign somebody else in the congregation. I won't put up with that. I don't want to hear about everybody else. You start maligning someone else in the congregation, that's not going to happen. You do that, I'll just tell you, that's going to stop here and now, or you can find yourself another church. Find a nice Baptist church or something like that. Go to. My job is to protect your privacy. So we learn Bible doctrine in the privacy of a local church. 6. Therefore, as a part of the Royal Family Honor Code, we must respect the privacy of other believers. Therefore, as a part of the Royal Family Honor Code, we must respect the privacy of other believers. Seven, failing to protect the privacy of other believers through gossip, judging, maligning. In God's thinking, that's considered the worst of all sins. Failing to protect the privacy of other believers through gossip, judging, maligning. In God's thinking, it's the worst of all sins. Turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, starting at verse 5. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Turn over to Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, that's arrogance. A lying tongue, sins of the tongue, lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood, murder. A heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up strife, dissension among fellow believers through gossip, maligning, slandering, judging. These are an abomination to the Lord. Now, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're not going to stop sinning. But there will be some sins that you will never, ever get involved in. And that is sins of the tongue. That is a vicious, it's an abomination to the Lord. You want to come under divine discipline in a heartbeat, well, then what? But if you're going to malign somebody, malign me. Because then I get the blessing when you do that. See, so. Three, the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring property. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring property. Let's amplify that. One, no church, no religious organization or individual is ever authorized to interfere with your property in any way. No church, no religious organization or individual is ever authorized to interfere with your property in any way. Two, all spiritual giving, whether of your time, your money, or your service, is always a matter of grace and free will. All spiritual giving, whether of your time, your money, or your service, is always a matter of grace and free will. Three, it is never a matter of coercion. It is never a matter of coercion. Four, all that we have and all that we are has been given to us by the grace and the power of God. All that we have and all that we are has been given to us by the grace and the power of God. Five, what you do with that grace provision is totally up to your free will. Your free will decisions and motivation from the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. So what you do with that grace provision is totally up to your free will decisions and motivation from the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart. And four, the Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring authority. The Royal Family Honor Code protects freedom by honoring authority. Let's amplify that. One, authority is defined in many areas of life in the Word of God, the laws of divine establishment. Parents over children. Husband over the wife. Employer over employee. Military and law enforcement through higher rank. A coach over an athlete. A teacher over a student. So authority is defined in many areas of life by the laws of divine establishment. Two, the Royal Family Honor Code demands that we orient to authority in each of these areas by developing genuine humility. The Royal Family Honor Code demands that we orient to authority in each of these areas by developing genuine humility. Three. In addition, there is spiritual authority. The authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the divinely delegated authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So in addition, there is spiritual authority. the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, and the divinely delegated authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. 4. Under the Royal Family Honor Code, the believer respects and submits to the authority of the pastor as the communicator of the Word of God and the policy maker of the local church. Under the Royal Family Honor Code, the believer respects and submits to the authority of the pastor as the communicator of the Word of God and the policy maker of the local church. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who communicate the Word of God to you. Who are these leaders? The pastor. Remember your pastors who communicate the Word of God to you. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their doctrine. Now look over at verse 17. Obey your leaders, the ones who communicate the Word of God to you. Obey your pastors and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden. For that would be unprofitable for you. Then turn over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, royal family of God, fellow believers, to respect those who work hard among you. This is the pastor teaching the Word of God. Who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them, huper ek perisu. Now I'm going to separate this just a little bit. It's actually three words combined into one. You have huper. That's a preposition. Ek, that's a preposition. And perisu. P-E-R-I-S-S-O-U. Now, perisu means abundantly. Perisu means abundantly. When you prefix a preposition to it, it is super abundantly. When you prefix another preposition to it, huper, it's super, super. Super, super abundantly. Huper ek perisu. Now let's go back and look at this again. Now we ask you, brethren, royal family of God, to respect those pastors who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them huper ek perisu, super abundantly because of their work. What is their work? Well, they put their ass in a chair and study, and then teach. That's the hard work. No, it's not physical work. It's a lot of time in there. When I come home, Debbie will say, which class did you work on tonight? And I tell her which one I'm working on. I said, you know what? The thing that pisses me off is that I can spend hours on one word and I'll teach it in 2 seconds. And I spent hours on that. And I'm not going to stand up there and say, you better appreciate this word. I have spent hours on this, and I'm going to teach it in 5 seconds. Well, but the main thing is I want to make sure I'm teaching exactly what God, the Holy Spirit, is putting down there. The only way any pastor can do that is he has to study from the original language. If you're not studying and teaching from the original languages, then you, what you're teaching may or may not, and most of the time it is not what God, the Holy Spirit, is communicating. And it's more important to me than anything else, anything in this universe. There's nothing more important than knowing exactly what God, the Holy Spirit, put down, so I communicate His truth. That is more important than anything else. And that's what drives me by the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's totally His grace and His power. And I'm talking all the time to God. I have no idea what was being said here in the King James Version. Lord, this is absolutely, I don't have no idea. I'm just telling you that. And I'm praying that God, the Holy Spirit, and you hear me say, well, it says in Arndt and Gingrich, page so-and-so, page so-and-so. It says in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page so-and-so. Because I am looking up every single word. And so, I know I'm slow. But I'd rather be slow and accurate than fast and heretic. The Royal Family Honor Code and freedom. Well, that brings us to point 12, and we'll start there next time. Father, we thank You for Your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.